right, good afternoon, evening, morning, whatever time you're listening. Welcome to another All About Nothing podcast. I am your host, Barrett. Again, you can follow me on Twitter, at Barrett Gruber. You can follow my friend Zach, who is absent today. Carolina King 21, something like that. I tell you what I'll do is I'll find out exactly what that is, and by the end of the program, or at least in the show notes, I'll make sure that I put in there what Zach's Twitter handle is, so you can follow. And of course, you can also follow the All About Nothing podcast on the Twitter at AAN_pod. It is January 22nd, 2020, and what a week. The Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump has begun. They've started deliberations, and actually in a few minutes, we'll probably just check in just to see where we're at. If you're not able to watch it, or if for some reason you're not paying any attention to it, chances are you probably voted Trump and intend on voting Trump again. I understand. Once you've fallen into that gene pool, it's hard to break your way out of it. I get it. I understand. But with the trial having begun, that is the topic of a lot of conversations all around the world. The president currently is in Davos, Switzerland, where they're having this giant business summit and global. I'll be honest, I'm not exactly 100% certain on what it is that we accomplish there, or what it is that the president accomplishes there, because it really feels like, just based on some of the coverage, that he basically goes there and berates the other countries. I think there were threats of new tariffs against Europe within the last day or so. I believe that he got into a squabble with the teenager from Finland or Norway, the Greta Thunberg, whatever. I believe that they got into it again. Over his comments and her not liking him. And at this point, I feel like she's just trolling him with the climate change stuff. I mean, I think we all understand that he's not going to come around. I mean, unless he sees the waves crashing literally on the building at Mar-a-Lago or at his Bedminster resort, I really don't think he's going to come around to this climate change thing. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong, and I hope that I am. But I see that this president is a climate denier, and I think at this point we're probably all pretty comfortable with that, except for a tweet that he put out just a few days ago that the White House account actually retweeted. Donald Trump tweeted that a massive $200 billion seawall built around New York to protect it from rare storms is a costly, foolish, and environmentally unfriendly idea that we needed, when needed, probably won't work anyway. It will also look terrible. Sorry, you'll just have to get your mops and buckets ready. So he's acknowledging the potential of there being storms that this seawall could potentially impact or lessen the damage of. But he's also recognizing that it'll be ugly, and that maybe people just need to get their mops and their buckets ready for what's coming. So it's almost like he's acknowledging that, yeah, that there is such thing as climate change, and we could potentially see more of these rare storms like Hurricane Sandy, and that they might have an impact on people that live in and around the New York area. But, you know, it wasn't but just recently that he announced that he no longer is a resident of the state of New York, that he has moved himself and his assets to the state of Florida, where, by the way, no property tax. So, I don't know how to take this. It's confusing to me because he's contradicting everything he's said potentially before this, but now he's also still contradicting this with the tweets and things he says about Greta from over there in Europe, where, you know, this is the same girl that just recently she took she sailed from, you know, where she's from all the way to the United States, and it was a big thing. She talked to the UN. It was impressive. I don't know that I could get on a sailboat and sail across, knowing that there's always the potential of some of these rare storms that could potentially. What about a seawall? What's the possibility that this giant $200 billion seawall, was that it? $200 billion? Yeah, $200 billion seawall that could potentially get in the way of your travel. I'm sure they have doors. I'm sure it would open. Whatever. So again, yeah, the Senate trial of President Trump has begun. And I think one of the things that really stood out yesterday was just how dumb our president's name is. And I know this is nitpicky, and I get it, but I feel like at some point between now and the end of time, we need to make a rule that if when you're naming your children, for God's sake, please, their middle name has to have at least the same number of syllables as the first name. President Donald John Trump just has no ring to it. And as rich as he is, and as rich as he potentially is, and as big of a head as he has about himself, why has he never gotten this corrected? I don't understand. It's President John Trump. Why didn't he, Donald John, I'm screwing it all up. President Donald John Trump. Why couldn't it have been President Donald Jonathan Trump or something like that? It every time I hear it, it irks me. And I know this is stupid. It has nothing to do with anything. His name is just his name, but there's something about his middle name just having one syllable that I think that's what I pegged it on. That's the issue that I have with his name. Is it the one syllable middle name really just needs to be corrected? I don't understand it. It's hard for me to get around. Regardless, so yesterday during the impeachment trial, it wasn't really the trial portion of it. What it was, they were debating on the rules that the Senate must follow in order to proceed with the hearings or the trial. And one of the rules that everyone's talking about that really stuck out to basically everyone is the fact that there will not be any bathroom breaks that are not, you know, scheduled or that are not already like built into recesses and things like that. They're only allowed to drink water. They can have water. They can drink milk. That is it. There is nothing else that is available. There is the potential that these hearings could go late into the night. There's also only 24 hours of debate between each side available over the next 2 days. It really feels like we're trying to speed through this thing so quickly that at the end of it, we'll look back and we'll go, oh, that was easily the worst roller coaster we've ever been on. So I'm not 100% certain on what's going to happen. I'm 99% certain on what's going to happen. It really does. It does feel like this is just being railroaded through. So in the end, they can say we had the trial. The Senate did hold a trial based on what the House presented them, the articles impeachment, and they did what they were going to. They did what they were constitutionally bound to do, and then we're just going to move on. And here's the thing. If you know anything about what's been going on in the Senate for the last 3 years, moving on for the Senate just means putting more federal judges in place. And more of these federal judges that Trump has selected to replace open positions, that's all the Senate's been doing. The House of Representatives has sent over more than 400 pieces of legislation that are just sitting because Mitch McConnell isn't going to push through any of their legislation while the House is still controlled by the Democrats. And, you know, is that smart? No, it's not. Is it intelligent gameplay? It's hard to say. I don't have any faith in Mitch McConnell's intelligence when it comes to being aware of how to handle the country. I think that he's terrible at this, you know, but I see it from the perspective of someone who doesn't agree with his policies, and I don't agree with, you know, how he's running the Senate. He picks and chooses what he wants to push across as legislation. I mean, he was forced to go ahead and push across legislation to raise the deficit and keep the country running for another 6 months or however long before the next limit comes along and we have to vote again on it. But, you know, those are the things that should just come across. Here's the other thing. Why as a Republican Party, they have lost the foundation, the foothold of what made them Republicans, and part of that was fiscal responsibility. Now we just completely operate as though it doesn't matter how much money we spend. It doesn't matter how much debt is being accrued for the citizens of this country. It's just constant, and we're just spending and spending and spending. We build these fighter jet planes that are being utilized not by us, because we buy them from Lockheed and then we turn around and sell them to the Saudis, and we're selling them for a tenth the price that we paid for them. So we're buying these new brand new planes, never using them, and then turning around and selling them almost virtually brand new to a country that can afford to pay full price for them. Why isn't the Saudis buying their military planes from Lockheed themselves? Well, that's because our president and commander in chief is got ties to Saudi Arabia. So, you know, it benefits him for them to benefit from the position that we sell them planes and tanks and you know, military personnel movers. I mean, it is unbelievable the things that President Trump gets away with, or these policies that just seem like they are normal and that we should just accept that this is what they are and this is how it is. But it's uncomfortable, because if you go and you look at the way that if any of this was attempted by, say, Clinton, or if it was attempted by, I guess Obama. So if Clinton or Obama tried to do any of the things that this president has done, there is absolutely no way that they would get away with it. It just would not happen. There would be there's the potential that Obama would have been impeached as well. You know, that I hear, you know, from friends and coworkers that consider themselves to be Republicans. I hear the same things that, you know, well, Obama did this and Hillary Clinton did this. There was Benghazi and there was, you know, the Iran nuclear trade agreement where we gave them, you know, billions of dollars. And none of these people that say these things ever do the research to look into it and say, you know what, the money we gave Iran, it wasn't even ours. We held on to it from the late or early 80s, late 70s. We held on to that money. And then, yeah, because we were holding on to it, we did apply some interest, because, you know, in the end, the United States is just a business, right? I mean, it's not right, but essentially that's it. So yeah, so we applied interest to it and we gave them money back as part of the agreement to keep them from building nuclear bombs, to keep them from building the facilities necessary to then create nuclear weapons. That was the deal, was to keep them from doing it. First thing that happens when President Trump comes into office is, you know, he pulls us, not the first thing, but eventually he pulled us out of the Iran nuclear agreement. And then they back out of it with the rest of the countries, because I don't even think it's that they want to build a nuclear weapon, but they want to have the high ground when it comes to making their own decisions. We gave them a treaty. They made the decision to join the treaty. President Trump comes along, removes us from the treaty. So they take the high ground of deciding for their own fate and say, well, we're going to step out. And then his reaction is like, well, why are they stepping out with the other countries? And it's like, well, because you did it. And it is confusing to try and follow along with the way that this president operates this position that he has. And it is so difficult just to maintain normalcy in all of it. So as of right now, as of while I'm recording this, The Senate trial is, or the Senate trial of the impeachment is actually still going on. In fact, I'm gonna feed it in here if I can.
I would think that if they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Biden. It's a very simple answer.
So it seems like right now what they're doing is they're actually they're playing some audio and showing some clips as evidence, I guess. This is evidence, of course, that was presented during the House impeachment. I'm not actually even sure who's speaking right now.
In plain sight.
But
during the July 25th call, President Trump also repeatedly pressed the Ukrainian president to coordinate with his personal attorney, Rudolph Giuliani.
So this is essentially what's going on now, is that they are now discussing all of the evidence that we've already been presented, because that's essentially what the Senate agreed to, was to allow for that evidence to be presented in this trial. And there is new evidence. Parnas, whatever, the gentleman at the center of some of this, he came forward last week, and we discussed it on the pod. He came forward with notes and basically said that Giuliani was at the center of this, and it was all at the direction of Trump, and that if Trump says he doesn't know who he is, that he would release a picture of the two of them together every single time the president denied it, which I thought was pretty funny, because I think for the most part he's pretty much held himself to honor that. He's released a picture every time he's been denied. But it's clear that, I do have this theory that President Trump is suffering from dementia. I do believe that it's not just that he's an idiot or that he's just really stupid. I think that really and truly the president is suffering from dementia, and maybe he's fully engrossed in the Alzheimer's. I don't know, but it is pretty clear to me that there is a mental some mental deficiencies that the president seems to be going through, and it's probably not repairable. It is potentially life threatening, and you know, the defense of this president is astounding to me, because it's amazing how the Republican Party has just gone along with the whole thing. It doesn't make any sense to me why they would be so willing to hang their careers and their legacies on an individual that up until 7 years ago did not represent them whatsoever. I mean, you know, we talk about how Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, you know, fought this campaign battle against each other, but years before that, they were close friends. Not only that, Donald Trump has donated to her campaign every single time she's run, including the 2016 election. So she ran for president against him in 2016. He donated to her campaign. Why would he do that if they weren't in some way friends? I mean, it's also potentially true that he never had any intention of winning. So there's that. But it is absolutely amazing to me that this president and this Republican Party are just hanging on to every single bit of what he's tossing at them. You know, they make comments all the time and say things like, well, you know, maybe it'd be better if he just didn't tweet so much. He's not going to stop. He hasn't stopped, can't stop, won't stop. You know, they say, well, you know, the womanizing thing, it clearly has not been as big an issue in the White House as perhaps Clinton. But, you know, could it be that maybe he is doing the same things he was doing before he was president, where he cheated on his wives? Is it possible that he's doing that same sort of thing? He seemed to get really bent out of shape when that Hope Hicks turned out that she was having a relationship with another one of the senior White House staff. He did not like that at all. So, you know, there's these little things that just sort of stand out that if it were another president, if it was Bush or HW or Clinton, well, it was Clinton or Obama, or, you know, if it was one of them, the Republicans would be up in arms to say that, you know, it's wrong. Well, maybe not for the Bushes, but for at least for a Democrat, if the roles were reversed, then they would be completely against all of what that president was trying to do, and they would be the ones that would be doing the impeaching right now. I mean, so it's just amazing to me, the hypocrisy of how all of this works. It's dumbfounding to me. So again, we move on from the impeachment later this week, I believe. It's hard to say exactly what is going to happen with the impeachment trial. My guess again is that he's going to get acquitted of it, and we talked about it a little bit last week. I had no problem with Nancy Pelosi holding on to the impeachment articles. She could have held on to them indefinitely for all I cared, because, you know, once she released them to the Senate and the Senate then had the opportunity to have this trial, all they were going to do is acquit him. So if you had held on to the impeachment articles, granted, the Republicans in the Senate wouldn't have liked that. The Republicans in the House wouldn't have liked it. Trump probably would have been pissed off about it. But, you know, if she had held on to it, then he could never have been acquitted for it. And he's not been acquitted, of course, for it now yet. But it's likely coming. And I think we all know that. I think anyone that denies that this president is going to be held accountable for, you know, the things that he's done is ridiculous. I don't think anyone thinks that that's going to happen. As of right now, they're actually right now discussing the, it looks like Daniel Goldman, it's a video of Daniel Goldman, deposing, Maria Yovanovitch, who was the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine.
What were you concerned about?
And it seems like they're just playing audio.
She's going to go through some things. It didn't sound good. It sounded like a threat.
So again, this is live. This is they're watching. They're watching these videos now as they're going through the impeachment trial. In fact, it's the Democrats that are actually up doing the talking right now. So if you try and watch it, I'm gonna be honest, you're gonna be incredibly bored out of your mind. And then some things, that's not necessarily even the most interesting part of everything going on. There's not really a whole lot of debate. None of the senators are allowed to talk unless they're in front of the podium. So there's not going to be like any back and forth debate, I don't believe. Potentially, maybe in the end, they might allow witnesses. I know that the big witness right now that the Democrats want is John Bolton. And as of watching the news this morning, it sounded as though the Republicans might be willing to allow for John Bolton to come in as a witness if the Democrats will subpoena for Joe Biden to come in as a witness. Which, if, again, this is one of those things, if you've paid any attention to any of what has built this in, what has created this situation, it was all based on the impeachment articles, at least. They're based on this phone call where and all of the background noise of the president and his administration, along with Rudolph Giuliani, trying to build a nonsense case against Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, that there was some sort of criminal activity going on behind the scenes in order to get Hunter Biden a job at a gas company in Ukraine, that somehow they were making. And see, this is the thing. There's no credible evidence to support that he got the job or that the Bidens got him a job at this gas company, Burisma, so that they could profit from it, or so that they could take advantage of something going on. There's no evidence. In fact, when asked exactly what it is that they think the Bidens were trying to do, there's no real solid information about what it is they even think they were trying to do. What it is that they believe that there's some sort of corruption and that the Bidens are at the center of it because Hunter Biden got a job at this gas company that is out of Kyiv, Ukraine. That's it. There's you know, and it's been debunked everywhere. At no point in time has anyone ever said, well, there might be this thing. There isn't. There's not been any information. There's not been any evidence. There's not been any documentation to support that the Bidens had any criminal intent with Hunter Biden working at Burisma on the board. Now, granted, Hunter Biden in his, you know, professional history didn't have any experience working for a gas company. I guess that's whatever. But it doesn't. To me, it's no different than Ivanka and Jared Kushner working for the White House. Neither one of them have any political experience. Neither one of them have any Department of State experience. None of them have any governmental experience whatsoever. But yet, we have Jared Kushner as our liaison to the Middle East, trying to rid the world of the warring going on between the Israelis and Pakistan. I mean, the Palestinians, and he's supposed to be fixing, you know, our relationship with the Middle East. And but you know, a lot of the headlines you see are that he's hanging out in Saudi Arabia with the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. So you know, and then Ivanka, I don't hear a whole lot of her, but I've seen him tweet some of the things that her clothing line makes, by the way, out of China. So I you know, to claim that Hunter Biden got a job at Burisma because his father was vice president of the United States isn't, to me, any different than Donald Trump giving his daughter and son-in-law a job in the White House, as senior counsel to the president. I don't know if those are paid gigs. I mean, the president supposedly is giving his salary to charities. They used to hold a ceremony for it, but I don't know that that's happened recently. I think every quarter he'd stand up there with a big check that he would give off to, you know, one of the charities or whatever. I don't think I've seen that in a while. But regardless, you know, if those are paid positions and you know, how is that not nepotism? You know, at least Hunter Biden got a job that his father wasn't really associated with. I mean, he's the vice president, so I guess you could associate him with almost anything. But regardless, it's not clear to define nepotism if his son is working for a company that his father had nothing to do with. Sure, the Biden name may have carried him through an interview or may have gotten him elected to the board, but you know, that's neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. It's not like Joe Biden directly hired him to be on the board at this gas company. So, you know, but because the Ukrainians would only sort of commit to saying, yes, we would do an investigation, but never came out and formally announced that they were doing an investigation, the president had the military aid that we, our Congress had already set up to give to the Ukrainians. And, you know, so it's, that's the part where it all fell apart for Trump, was because he lost his shit over the fact that they would not do what he asked them to do, which was to say that they were looking into the corruption of Hunter Biden working for this company and how Joe Biden was attached. Because all of it is because Trump believes that Joe Biden is the guy he's going to have to run against. And Trump does not want to lose the election, because if Trump loses the election, almost certainly he's going to walk into the arms of the U.S. Marshal Service for charges that are probably almost certainly coming, criminal charges. You know, that somewhere there's a grand jury that, as soon as President Trump is no longer the current standing president, those federal charges from a grand jury that grand jury will indict him. And he will be arrested, and all of these Republicans that have hung their hat on him as their you know, the leader of the Republican Party, all of these Republicans are going to have to come to the realization that, holy crap, he doesn't even have any more golf resorts for us to go to. You know, I said it last week. I fully believe that Lindsey Graham, the only reason that he is so entwined in this Donald Trump scheme is because Donald Trump has given free membership to all of his resorts. Well, if he walks into federal custody, the U.S. Marshals take him into custody, they take over all of his assets. They then own, until there is some sort of ending to his situation, to his arrest, to his, you know, trial and all of that, until there is some sort of settlement or he goes to jail or whatever, the U.S. Marshal Service can use that property for anything, including selling the property to pay for his legal fees. Because I think in the end, I feel like a lot of us are pretty certain that President Trump does not have the billions of dollars that he says he has. It dumbfounds me that we're still holding on to this idea that we have a president who is a billionaire. I don't believe he is a billionaire. I believe that his company owns some properties, and yeah, he probably spends the money out of the accounts and is not accountable for any of that, but holy crap, he's a criminal. And in history, when history looks back, they're going to see that we elected a man to the office of President of the United States who ultimately, before he was elected, while he was president, and after, was a criminal at heart. That is all he was. And you know, I don't know if potentially people are going to look back and go, gosh, we were so wrong. But man, really some serious reflection needs to be done on what it is that got us to this point. You know, I've heard people tell me that, you know, they blame Obama for this, or that this is a situation that has occurred because we've become so partisan in our beliefs. But I don't think we as a country have become so partisan, but we have elected people that play that role, and they play that role so well that they're able to convince the electorate that they need to stay in office to protect the rights and freedoms that they're afforded, but only because those people, those individuals are the ones that are being elected. You know, that they have to hold those positions in order for everything to stay status quo. And honestly, at this point, status quo just is disappointing. I mean, there's so much potential for this country, and yet we continue just to ride this train. And the amount of money we're spending in creating this unbelievable deficit when it comes to just the yearly spending of the country. You know, most of our budget, or not most of it, but a good huge chunk of our budget is going towards military for wars and preparation for fighting in wars that aren't happening. You know, we may have a small force in Afghanistan right now. We may have a small force. And absolutely, I am of the belief that we should give them all the tools they need to successfully complete their mission and come home healthy and uninjured. You know, so give them everything they need while they're doing this. If they're there as a police force to help the people that we have uprooted because we came in and, you know, we went into Iraq under false pretenses. Afghanistan, you know, yeah, they had the Taliban and they had Al-Qaeda, and granted, we needed to uproot them so that we did not have any more harm being caused to the people of our country. But man, you know, that's it. We don't, we buy new military equipment all the time that never gets used. And when I say used, I mean, like, you know, we have Humvees and military transport vehicles and planes and things like that sit just long enough to be then turned around and sold to Saudi Arabia, or maybe I don't think we've sold any to North Korea, but who knows? Maybe that'll be part of the agreement with North Korea when we finally are at peace and we have a peace treaty signed between North Korea, South Korea, and the United States, is that we're going to start giving them some of our military equipment, or selling it to them, I guess. I can't say give it. We're not giving it away. We are selling it, but it's at a loss. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing when I say that, you know, that we have all of this that we sell so cheaply to other countries that they don't have our interests at heart. And yet we seem to be taking care of the countries that, you know, of the terrorists that were involved in the hijacking of the airplanes that flew into the World Trade Center's towers and that flew into the Pentagon and crashed in Pennsylvania. Of all of those terrorists, most of them were from Saudi Arabia. And I get that they were Al-Qaeda from Saudi Arabia, but they were from Saudi Arabia. And yet, under this administration, we seem to just be skirting past that, like it's not even an issue. You know, I'm not saying that everyone from Saudi Arabia is a terrorist. I'm not saying that even a tenth, or I'm not even saying a percentage of them are terrorists. I am having to recognize, though, that the individuals that were involved in it were from Saudi Arabia. And clearly the family that is part of the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, I guess the ones in charge, you know, were fully aware that the prince had a reporter killed because he spoke out against the family in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, Khashoggi was murdered and dismembered It is unbelievable to me that we're okay with this. Not us. We're not okay with this. That our president seems to be just fine about it. And I get he'll tweet every now and then about things that he acts like he thinks he should be upset about. And he puts it out there. And that squelches the people that think that he should be more upset about things, or that he should at least say something. I get it. It pacifies them for a little bit, but you know, these are things that there should be sanctions against Saudi Arabia. We should stop selling them our military equipment in situations like this. Maybe we shouldn't be launching drone attacks against the people in Yemen who are fighting the Saudis. You know, why do we have to be involved in that? Why are we? And you know, the president says things like, well, they're paying us. You know, they're paying for our service. That's a terrible excuse. So now the United States is a hired gun for countries that want our support. Does that mean that countries that, let's say, don't do you favors, they're not going to get your military support? Are you going to withhold military aid and humanitarian aid because they didn't do your favor for them? I mean, that's what the whole trial is about, is the fact that the president wanted something done, didn't happen, so he withheld the military aid. It wasn't just military aid. He did withhold humanitarian aid. You know, water, food, supplies for the Ukrainians. And this, you know, he talks about it like it's not an American problem, but a stronger Russia is a problem for the United States, unless you're Donald Trump, who is, you know, in Putin's back pocket. I absolutely believe that Putin has more control over Donald Trump than Donald Trump has control over Donald Trump. You know, it's just astounding. So that I guess I've rambled on pretty good amount about the impeachment and Donald Trump and everything like that. So that's where we stand right now. In fact, they're still on the floor debating.
In November, President Trump denied that he spoke to Ambassador Sondland on July 26, telling reporters, "I know nothing about that."
Yeah, so this is what they're going to be doing for quite a while. And that's great. But, you know, eventually we'll move on from this and it'll be, you know, back to status quo. The president will be the president and his middle name will still be John, which is great. So, something that was released yesterday, and if you enjoy rock and roll music or you're a fan of some of the heavy metal from the past, things like that, Ozzy Osbourne and his wife did an interview on ABC News recently. I believe it was yesterday, the 21st of January. And Ozzy Osbourne has revealed that he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And if any of you remember his TV show on MTV, or if you've ever seen him on stage, I believe this is not going to come as a shock. And that's nothing against Ozzy Osbourne, but it kind of just seems like maybe we kind of already knew, you know, and honestly, I joke about this, but it's not really a joke. I've always had this idea that eventually Parkinson's is probably what's going to take me. And, I really, really do hope. I know that there are celebrities that have had Parkinson's, and that there are there are plenty of people out there that have had Parkinson that are such terrific people, and even the celebrities. Michael J. Fox is one of those people that stands out as a Parkinson survivor now. But you know, he's done a lot to try and raise money and awareness for Parkinson and Parkinson's disease. And I really do hope that a cure comes along, or some sort of treatment that makes it easier. 'Cause you know, it's realistic to think that any of us could develop Parkinson's. And I know I can honestly say I don't want to, and I hope that the research is there to improve the situation. But yeah, so that's in the news. Ozzy Osbourne has been diagnosed with Parkinson's. So it is sad news for Ozzy Osbourne and his family. So of course, thoughts and prayers go out. And you know, this will be the last thing I talk about tonight. But just so, thoughts and prayers. The United States, when it comes to tragedies, especially the type that we create ourselves, not necessarily natural disasters and things like that, but situations that we cause ourselves, such as the you know, the terrible tragedies of the mass shootings. I still and will continue to always have an issue with this idea that for those types of tragedies and situations, that thoughts and prayers are what's going to fix it. And it's not. It is it's not going to be fixed until we recognize that the tools that are being used for these terrible events are in our own hands. And it's a situation that we can fix. We can resolve. We just have to recognize that maybe we don't. Maybe it's one of those rights that we shouldn't necessarily. Oh, hold on. Mitch McConnell's talking.
Without objection, so ordered.
Oh, I missed it. Yeah, Mitch McConnell, I think, was asking for a recess, so I imagine that means they're going to go to the bathroom now. Maybe they're breaking for dinner. I don't know. I wasn't listening. But they are in recess currently until 7:05, so it's 6:30 or so now as I'm recording. And I think that's probably going to go ahead and do it for me for this week. We'll get Zach back on here for the next show. I think we're going to try and record on Sunday, so you have that to look forward to start your week. Other than that, I am Barrett. I appreciate you listening to the All About Nothing podcast. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Barrett Gruber. The podcast is at AAN_pod, so you can follow us there. Please like and subscribe to wherever you're listening to this from, and we will do it again next week. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.
Baby, baby, why can't you sit still?